Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness in today's show. We'll be responding to your email questions and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here and we'll be right back with you. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. You?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
I'm pretty good.
Pretty good.
I'm watching.
Fantastically adequate.
Say that again.
Fantastically adequate.
Fantastically adequate to my experience.
Isn't that good?
Isn't that good?
Sounds like somebody might be trying to talk you out of that awareness, however.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and I've been noticing that conditioning has been going after the stomach today, holding the tension there.
Uh-huh.
Which is a...
Holding life together with your stomach muscles?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, of course, in Pilates, we realize the importance of engaging our abs, but that's different, isn't it?
It's a little different kind of thing.
Yeah, different from a second and third chakra takeover of of our bodies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and what a relief and a joy to have the practice and to remember that it's okay for that to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and sort of getting it that I don't really know what it is.
Uh-huh. You don't really know what it is that's causing that tension?
Yes, and also that I don't know what's causing it. And somebody is really trying to figure out so that they can know what it is.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, and which takes you up into your head.
Yes.
To think about it.
Yes.
Which we find is just ever so not helpful.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of something that you wrote in the depression book that whenever I read it, I just think how wonderful it is. And it's a little list of sort of helpful suggestions, is the way I remember it. And one of them is, stop assuming you know yourself.
Uh-huh.
And that's just a real gem to me.
Uh-huh.
Because I can really find myself, you know, especially sort of conditioning sneaks in with the practice. Now I know myself. Now I'm starting to know who I am.
Yeah, now I can pay attention. Now I'm aware. Now I...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and what we're actually doing is going to conditioned mind to get an assessment about how we are.
Yes.
Yeah, and we know that conditioned mind is not really supportive of living a life of bliss and freedom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So knowing yourself just turns it over to the voices of conditioning to say, oh, well, you're like this, and you're feeling this, and it's because of this, and it's never going to change, and what about the future, and what are you going to do about that?
Yes.
Which, yeah.
Yes. All of that.
Yeah. And that's such an important point, that when conditioned mind gets the lingo of the practice, then it's just one step ahead of us using that against us.
Yes.
Yeah. What the very concepts that when we first get them are so freeing in the hands of conditioned mind or the mouth of conditioned mind become real sources of torment for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's interesting, isn't it, that what we're really required to do is practice instead of processing. You know, we process until we get the information.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if I'm going to learn water conservation,
yes,
then I need to get all of the information about that.
Yes.
But after I get the information, I don't have to be in a conversation about it.
Yes.
Right? What I need to do then is practice the tools that I've learned.
Yes.
Yeah? Which to me is, it's a really important distinction to make, because if I stay in the process of it, if I stay in a conversation in my mind about it, then pretty soon conditioning is going to be telling me how well I did that, how I didn't do that, I should have done that, I know better than that, why did I do that, I should feel bad, because rather than simply practicing what I know about water conservation.
Yes. Yes. Exactly so.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Good. Maybe somebody else wants to call us and talk about this stuff. What do you think?
Yes. And maybe they don't know the phone number. Let me get that out.
Them.
The phone lines are wide open here today at Open Air and World Talk Radio. The number is toll-free in North America. That's 877-514-7300. If you're further away than North America, you can reach us at 001-858-277-1444. Sherry, I have a stack of email questions here, and I have a big stack of a calendar from the website, too.
Mm.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
You know, we're a very active organization.
Yes.
You know, if anybody is ever bored, they can just get hooked up with us and never be bored again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You go to that schedule page, and it just scrolls and scrolls and scrolls and scrolls.
Yep. Yep.
It's great.
Something for everybody. All the time.
Yes. Here's an email question. Dear Sherry, I just listened to your radio show from a couple of weeks ago and related to the caller who was struggling with whether or not he should give up playing in his band for fear of hearing damage. You pointed out the no-win situation ego had set him up in. This related so perfectly to my situation. I discovered a great love a few years ago, ballroom and Latin dancing, and while my love of it and involvement in it has grown, so have my foot problems. Last month, I received the results of an MRI on my ankle and was told I would need surgery to repair the ligaments. So now the suffering really intensified over the debate over whether to give it up and over the thought of doing so. I should give it up, the quote rational voices say, to protect any further damage or injuries to my feet. That's the responsible thing to do. But I love it, the other voices say. So back and forth I've gone in this duality. How timely to hear someone else caught up in such a similar process and with such similar content. It's freeing to realize that the way ego has the duality set up, I can't win. And I see how being caught up in an all-or-nothing duality keeps me from seeing the middle way. For instance, in the case of the caller wearing earplugs. It's interesting, too, to see how conditioning predicts such extreme outcomes to scare us with. Amazing to see what an elaborate journey the mind can take up and away from the present. A lot to see in this. One question, though. You were talking about how content that's related to our health is easy to buy into because it seems so believable. Isn't it sometimes real that we could be compromised or risking our physical health by engaging in certain courses of action? So how do we know when to believe it and when not to? Thank you for providing this opportunity via the radio show to be able to see ourselves in others.
Well. Here's the good news. I know the answer.
That's good.
Isn't that good?
That is good.
Okay. So it's very simple. We never believe it.
We never believe it.
Never, ever, ever, ever believe it.
Uh-huh.
Now, we can be open to information coming from all sources, but we never believe it. Now, I could just give you example after example after example of what I mean. All the way from with myself, a severe, severe back injury when I was younger that – you know, was one of those where anybody would have said, you need surgery, you can never this and that again, whatever. And over time and a devotion to paying attention to it and healing it, I'm able to do absolutely anything that I want to do. And I'm not minimizing the amount of effort and energy that goes into that, the constant need to pay attention at the most subtle levels and to become an absolute expert on my back, which I think personally we are all obligated to do. You know, you're the only one with your body. I'm the only one with mine. The writer is the only one with his or her. And, you know, that's the way it is. There's no medical person can know what is true for you.
Yes.
They cannot. They can have a lot of statistics. They can have a lot of ideas. They can have a lot of things. But each one of us is responsible for becoming such an expert on our own bodies, emotions, mind, and spirit, that we are in a position to take full responsibility for our well-being. So there's that end of the continuum. The other day, I had an infection in my ear, and that was painful. And I was with somebody who does Qigong, medical Qigong.
Yes.
And I said, can you do anything for my ear? And she said, well, we can try. And she did a, you know, whatever she's doing over there. And instantly, the infection was gone, and it has never returned. Now, there are a lot of medical people who will say, no, that's not possible. Well, you know, I've just had experience after experience after experience where it's worked. So that... You know, what the duality that this person is caught in is either I continue to dance with the result of injuring myself, or I stop dancing with the hope that the injury will not get worse. To me, those are, you know, it's like walking into a grocery store and thinking, let's see, I'm hungry. I can either eat bread or broccoli. You know, yes, both those things are in the grocery store. That's a little bit limited in terms of possibility. So that would be my encouragement, to use this as an opportunity to find out everything that is possible and to stay in the situation with the, you know, if there's going to be an assumption that it's going to work. And it will work, whether... There is the ability to alter what's going on with the foot or not. And, of course, it's a ligament. So I think there's every opportunity to turn that around completely. But even if it didn't turn around completely, the amount of awareness that's going to come out of this kind of attending to something that one is highly motivated to attend to is going to be priceless.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So can we really injure ourselves? Of course we can. And most people do it by not paying attention. And, you know, are we going to be injured? Well, you know, the Buddha noticed that three things happen if people live long enough: old age, sickness, and death. And the only way to avoid at least two out of three of those is to die young.
Yes.
So, you know... The body is not going to last forever at best. Before we go on, I was just at the gym, and I was working out with a trainer. And one of the things that I do, that I love to do, that a lot of people don't know, but it's true, is box. And so she was training me, and, you know, she's 20 years younger than I am, and so her parents are my age, and they're very unhealthy at this point. She said, oh, my gosh, I wish my parents were like you. You know, I wish they would do these kinds of things. I wish they were interested in this. And I said, well, you know, the difficulty with this is that you can't start now.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you spend a lifetime not paying attention to your body, ignoring your body, mistreating your body, misusing it, you know, you've already got a diagnosis. It's a little late to hope that you're going to have a long and healthy old age. Now, the advantage of starting now is that we can make whatever is going on with us better right now. But if we really want to prepare for the future, then we need to start doing being however we hope to be then now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So if this person wants to dance until he or she is, you know, carried out, then the amount of attention that needs to go into that, it's, you know, it's like you've never saved for your old age.
Yes.
Okay, well, if you start when you're 40, that's one experience. If you start when you're 50, that's another experience. If you start when you're 60, that's a whole different experience. So, you know, when you're 40, you have to save quite a bit. If you want to, when you're 50, you better double that. When you're 60, all you better do is save. So treating ourselves on every level in that way is, I think, is really important.
Uh-huh. So there's being here in the moment with the knowledge that the work today can be beneficial tomorrow.
Yes, and if we want a particular outcome tomorrow, it better be what we're doing today.
Yes.
Yeah, because not doing something about it today is not going to help us have that tomorrow. Now, it's true we may not have tomorrow, but if we're approaching it the way I'm describing today, today is going to be so much better.
Even
if we don't have tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. That's great. Sign me up for boxing class.
Can you tell I'm passionate about all of it?
Yes. This is the show about passion. That's why I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break now, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have a caller. I'd like to welcome Sheehan Ma from Murphy's. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening. Yeah. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Actually, I was just really struck. I wanted to respond to or look at my own process around what you were talking about earlier with Michael about the voices and the analysis and things, as I've actually been in that process myself. I guess I was away for a while and came back yesterday and found out that one of my favorite aunts died just before Thanksgiving.
Mm.
And so it's just, you know, it's just been this process, like, of watching, like, the emotion come up, and then I have this sub-personality who does this analyst thing, who says, oh, well, you're identified, right? And then the whole thing, like, shuts off. I mean, you know, just so watching the emotions and the feelings and things come in. I mean, mostly it's she was really important to me in ways she couldn't know when I was young. And so mostly it's gratitude because she was suffering. She was in the hospital for 2 months before she passed. But just I've been watching just this commentary and sometimes getting caught in it, this commentary about what I should be feeling, what I shouldn't be feeling. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, now, this is really, for most of us, this is really big content.
Yes. Okay,
people dying, people we love dying is really big content. It's right up there with our own bodies and how they're doing. Or money, or kids, you know, the big numbers, retirement. So what we know is that conditioned mind, and in this case it sounds like a fair dose of self-hatred, is going to come in and use everything, right? It's gonna use a trip to the grocery store to get your haircut or, you know, anything that's going on. It's going to be telling you how you should be and how life is and what things mean and all of that. When there's something big like this, it's, you know, it's just a huge opening for it to come in because most people in these situations are distracted. You know, you're trying to grapple. The mind is trying to get the magnitude of this, right? How does this fit into your world? And everything is moving and shifting around, and memories are coming up, and emotions are there.
And then that offset with knowing that we actually don't die. I mean, there's some part that does never die. So that part gets thrown in the mix, too.
That's right. And conditioned mind is right there to take advantage of all of this,
yeah.
Which is why You know, I'm endlessly encouraging people to learn how to turn their attention away from conditioned mind so that you can be here in this moment with whatever is arising in this moment. And everything will arise in this moment. The memories will be there, old conversations, pictures from your childhood, all the sensations in your body, all of that stuff is going to be going on. What's not necessary is that analysis, that commentary, most of which is not going to have you coming out in a good place.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, it's actually been better, like, this afternoon, because I actually sat down to start rereading the email class, and that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, because the commentaries, first it's about, well, you know, you shouldn't be crying, you know, she didn't die. And then the next commentary is, well, you know, but you should be crying. I mean, you know, it's one of those content. It's a lose-lose proposition.
Oh, yeah.
It always is with conditioning.
Bottom line is you're doing it wrong.
Right, exactly, no matter what's going on.
Yep. And so to know that really inspires us to turn our attention away from it, so that we can be present to all of the other things that are going on. Because it's a really, it's an interesting process. We could say it's an important process. You know, a big part of being a human being is our relationship with other people and how those relationships change and what happens when people die. And, you know, that's big stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so to be pulled away from that, to have to give our time and attention and energy to that ongoing from conditioning, it's just you know, it's really cruel. There are times when we get to see how cruel that process is.
Yeah.
And this is one of them. You're already grieving, and then its contribution is telling you what you're doing wrong.
Yeah, yeah, and so what I'm wondering, because kind of like it's been more, I mean, I've really been focusing on just dropping into awareness,
mm-hmm.
and so what I've been noticing is that some of this has really eased up. I mean, it was bad yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Or I was falling for it more, but it just seems as though, you know, feelings come and then see, and I can see this voice going, well, so that means you're more centered or less centered. So there's some,
right.
still some part trying to analyze, but it's like the feelings come and then it's like something, maybe it's another subpersonality, the attention shifts onto something like cooking or something, and then the feelings kind of go, and it's like this constant shifting process.
Yes.
What I've noticed.
Yes, which is always the case.
Yeah.
And then there's that voice.
Yeah.
Attempting to be the center of your life.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's over there going, well, what about me? Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. This is what I think. This is what I think. This is what I noticed. This is what I think is going on.
Right, right. You just repress that part. Right. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever. Right.
Yeah. But it's really saying, pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. And it'll do anything, say anything, to get you to leave where you are and turn your attention to it. And, of course, if it can get you to engage with it, that, you know, I mean, it's just like watching a little kid in a grocery store or in a restaurant, you know, trying to get the parent's attention in any way possible. I was somewhere recently, in fact, watching this little kid. They're the parents sitting at one table, and the little kid is sitting next to them at another table. And the little kid is saying, Mommy, 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 Mommy. And, I mean, pretty soon, it's like, how many times is that kid going to say that before that woman acknowledges that he is addressing her? And he was saying it just in the same tone of voice. You know, he wasn't raising his voice. He wasn't demanding. He was just, it's like, he's probably five or six maybe, and he learned to just be a broken record, to just sit there and say Mommy until finally he sort of wore her down. And she turned her attention to him and said, What do you want? You know, it's
uh-huh.
like, you know, and it's just, there it is. There's conditioned mind in action. You know, he's seeing a model. You know, he's living a model of how things work. And so he'll grow up with a voice inside of his head that is that process acted out.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need to continue it.
So
to me, it's you hear the voice, you say, no, thank you, come back to the breath.
Yeah.
There it is. No, thank you, come back to the breath. No, thank you, come back to the breath.
Come back to the breath and whatever is arising in the moment.
Yeah. Look for the sensations in your body.
Okay.
Yeah. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Shin Ma. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. If you'd like to email us your questions, you can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org. And if you want to listen to archives of the show, you can go straight to the webpage where you're listening right now, and all of the archives are there. We have more than 100 shows there now.
Wow.
It's great.
We are talkers, aren't we?
We are talkers. What is talk radio, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Where we come to talk.
Yes, and everybody else does, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, I wanted to do a quick highlight of the calendar,
mm-hmm.
not in detail, but quick highlight. Sherry, you're going to be in the North Carolina, Georgia area in the end of January.
Yeah, now, much closer than that. You know, December 3rd, I'm going to be right here in Palo Alto.
I missed that one. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and right here in Palo Alto. And you know, our good friend Jan Latender is coming from North Carolina to do your best year yet on the, is it the 21st?
Yes, January 21st.
Also in Palo Alto.
Also in Palo Alto.
Yeah, and then we head east.
Thank you for those reminders, Sherry. So, yes, this coming weekend, Sherry's doing a workshop here in Palo Alto. It's called The Gift Worth Giving. And then Saturday, January 21st, at the same location in Palo Alto, we'll have The Best Year Yet, which is always a popular workshop.
Sets us up for the whole year.
Sets us up for the whole year. And then, late January, you'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Athens, Georgia. And then later in the spring, in April.
And Asheville.
And Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, Asheville, I think one is Saturday, Sunday in Raleigh, and then like Monday in Athens, and the Wednesday in Asheville. Yeah.
Yes. January 28th, January 30th, and February 1st. All of this information is on Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com, sherryhuber.com. Sherry, later in the spring, you're going to be in the Northeast, New York, Boston area.
Yes.
And there are a variety of other retreats sprinkled in between.
Uh-huh. Going to be in Virginia right after that, all over the place. All over the map, as they say.
All over the map.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Sherry's website and also the Zen Center's website, which is thezencenter.org. All of the information is there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, sure. Sherry, I have an email question here.
Okay.
Dear Sherry, I listened to your show on the computer. In a recent show, a caller asked a question about something she was involved in called internal family systems. I am unfamiliar with that system, but it sounds similar to Gestalt therapy. In Gestalt therapy, the patient is encouraged to first return to center, often through meditative techniques, and then from that perspective to acknowledge and with curiosity and, yes, compassion, listen to what the parts have to say. The goal is an understanding that each part in some manner is a strategy that is designed for protection. The part that is critical may have grown from some adult who used that strategy as a supposed way to, quote, motivate you as a child. Not that the voice is healthy, rather that it is understood. I completely see Sherry's fundamental point that conditioning pulls you from present awareness. But I've found, and maybe I'm fooling myself, which is why I'm writing this note, that the process of engaging the parts leads in times to a lessening of conditioning, or at least the power of the conditioning, and an increased ability to see it as such, and the consequent ability to return to center. I'd appreciate your perspective on this from a listener in Pennsylvania.
Okay. I actually break it down into two different things. And there are two different things in both places, from center. So if we
if we talked about I, there is the conditioned I, and then there is the essential nature, I as essential nature.
Yes.
And then in conditioning, I see two different things. One is the aspects of the personality. Let's face it. Everybody stole all of this stuff from the Buddha. Okay, let's just acknowledge that right there. Hey, people call it everything under the sun, but it's all Buddhism, okay? So, you know, people act like they invented something, for heaven's sake. It's been around for 2,500 years. So there are aspects of the personality, but there is also something else, and that something else is endlessly interesting. It has all kinds of names. Different psychologies come up with different kinds of names. Religions come up with different kinds of names. Spiritualities come up with different kinds of things. And it is that thing that we often talk about as self-hatred that is not interested in being helped. It doesn't want to come to center. It does not want to be healed. It's not interested in compassion. And it does seem to have kind of a little life of its own. So while it is true that a process of engaging with aspects of the personality is helpful, to me it is only helpful in this regard, and that is that it assists the individual to move from being identified with an illusion of a separate self. So this is the small I, me, my. And I have these parts to my personality, and I have ideas about how they should be, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And we move from that into what is truly center. What we could say is the large I that actually has me as an illusion of a separate self as a subpersonality.
Uh-huh.
If you know what I mean by that.
Yes.
So, That's the I, the large I, that when I am in that I, the small I actually doesn't exist.
Yes.
So this perspective actually goes way beyond psychology, and it is a it is a spiritual perspective. It says that there is an intelligence. Now this is not intelligent design. All right. there is. Intelligence, there is awareness, and of course people always try to write these in capital letters so that we get it, that we're not talking about a conditioned reality, we're talking about something that contains that conditioned reality.
I see.
And so in that, when we're at center in that way, certainly even self-hatred is contained within that same container. But as an individual with my little subpersonalities, there is a force there called self-hatred or egocentric karmic conditioning or whatever it is that is constantly attempting to pull us out of center and into a place of suffering.
Yes.
Yeah. So all of the work is helpful. It's all really interesting. To me, the whole point of it is not working with subpersonalities. It's not healing the self. It's not, that's why even with things like physical things, all of the things that, I'm a spiritual type. I'm a religious type, let's face it. And so all of those kinds of things that as a society people get very hung up on and think are incredibly important. I saw pictures the other day of the day after Thanksgiving. People are having fist fights in stores trying to get a bargain.
Wow.
The world on this level is not something that that I have a lot of interest in. So for me, the whole point of it, the whole opportunity of a human existence is to move into that centered place that is unconditional. And, that's the best I can do with that. If somebody has a question about that, they'll call and ask.
Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Nancy from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Nancy.
When someone comes to me with a problem and they're expressing really strong emotions, I find that even though I can speak to them in a calm and quiet voice, that I tend to have a very strong body reaction, and after they leave, they're feeling better, and my heart's racing, and my body's shaking, and I suppose I should just be with those feelings, but then that voice says, you can't be with these feelings. They're going to kill you. So I don't know how to handle those really strong body reactions.
Uh-huh. And may I ask, are you a therapist or something along those lines?
No, I'm a computer specialist, and people are always coming with computer problems or intense, you know.
Oh, and they're whacked out because they're, something hasn't done what it should do, and
right.
The stress level is, and they're screaming and yelling. And so what if you could do anything you wanted to do with those sensations in your body, what would they be kind of inspiring you to do?
Well, I guess I just want them to go away.
The people or the sensations?
People are good. I'm okay with the people because I know I can really help them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even beyond technology, you know, people come to me and say, hey, I have a problem, please help me. That's okay. I'm good with that. I just don't want to take it inside me, and I don't want to react so poorly to that body sensation.
Yeah. Well, and I think you've just stated actually what the difficulty is. You don't want to take it inside you. So I would suggest that what's actually going on is that you're trying so hard not to take it on that you're having a huge reaction to it.
Uh-huh.
That if, in fact, you didn't take it seriously, if it didn't mean anything, and you were just you just let the sensation, the vibrations, because that's what's going on, right?
Right.
They're emitting and transmitting all these vibrations, and they hit your body, and everything in you says, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this. You try to close down around it, but, of course, you can't close down around it.
Right.
And the more you try to close down, the more it kind of throws your system into chaos.
Right.
So
I'm right with you.
Yeah, right with you. So my encouragement, of course, is going to be to practice relaxing. So, and actually, you know, one of the images that I like best for this kind of thing is an open window. So as soon as somebody comes in, and you have to take this on, you know, like an experiment, right? So it's like a big game. You're gonna figure out how Nancy can come through these encounters with no result except having had a good time and feeling good. Okay?
Yeah, I'm up for that.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's, and does this kind of happen every day?
Well, my body reaction certainly happens every day, yes.
Yeah. Okay. But is it something that you can, in other words, like, are you sitting in a room and people burst through the door and suddenly your heart is pounding and they're doing whatever they're doing, or is it something that you can kind of anticipate? Whoops, here it comes.
No, it's the burst in.
Okay. So, oh, this is great. So, yet another one of my favorite things is I'm always talking about it on this show too. The Inspector Clouseau and the his houseboy who's they do martial arts together, and so he's always, you know, jumping out from behind doors or under the bed or off the refrigerator and attacking him and helping him to learn to be really present. Okay? So, I mean, this is so Zen, you know, the whole sword fighting and that sort of thing that people did simply to practice being present so that they're completely present all the time. That was the... You know, it didn't have anything to do with sword fighting. It's just that sword fighting is so great because you could die if you're not paying attention, right? So there you are. And so if I were you, I mean, depending on how you feel about your coworkers, you know, you could put signals up for yourself so that every time you see this color, every time you see whatever it is, you're aware somebody could burst through that door at any minute. And you're learning to be completely relaxed with that. So it's not... Somebody's going to come bursting through the door. Oh, God. and every muscle in your body tenses. But what you're learning to do is just breathe and relax your body. Breathe and relax. I mean, actively taking the tension, you know, dropping your shoulders down, feeling the whole thing relax. Then, and now this is a process, you know, it might take you a few encounters or a bunch before you achieve your desired results, but if you stay with it, you will. So then somebody comes in, and as they're doing, you know, what they're doing, you're attending to what they're saying, because, you know, if your eyes glaze over and,
right,
you know, then you have no idea what to, you have to stay with it. But what you're practicing is relaxing your body, feeling those vibrations come through your body, and imagine that your body is an open window. So like from your chin down to the bottom of your torso is just an open window, and you just watch all of that energy just go through the open window, okay?
Okay.
And then you see what happens. As soon as they leave, you know, you check in, check with your heart rate and all of that, and have a little talk with yourself. You know, that was great. That was amazing. What you're going to get to very quickly is that you start loving the sensations, because all it is a whole bunch of energy in your body, and it's yours. You get to do with it whatever you want to do with it. When you try to resist it, right, and you can't, then it feels like an assault.
Yes.
But when you just let it run through your body, it's exhilarating. It's thrilling.
Wow. Okay?
Now, that's down the road a little bit. So, you know, like tomorrow, that might not happen. But you might actually get a little hint of it, that if you didn't call those sensations in your body anything, if you didn't have a preconceived notion that they're bad and awful and you want to get rid of them,
right,
you know, it's the hardest pounding and the, you know, the breath. It's like you've been running on the beach.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you're going to let us know, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm excited for you.
Me too.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller and just a couple minutes left.
Okay.
Let's take a start, and maybe we'll continue next week.
Wonderful.
I'd like to welcome Dylan from Amarosa. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hey.
Hi. So I'm calling in. It's interesting. I had a pretty similar question as I guess the person who called in just before me had.
Uh-huh.
So that was good. That was good to hear about.
Got lots of tips all day, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Good,
so,
good.
What's been going on with me is basically like my latest, I guess, opportunity for spiritual experience is quite a good deal of social anxiety, and and so I've been just trying to work with that with awareness. And I figured I'd just give a call and see what you might have to say to that. Basically, like, it's really, like, as far as everything that I'm trying to, like, do in my life, it's probably, like, the most limiting factor. Like,
yeah.
I try and go to school, and that's the most stressful part of school is not the work, but dealing with, like, the social circumstances.
Uh-huh.
Same at work. I have a fairly stressful job. But it's not my job requirements that stress me out, you know?
Right, so. Right. It's other folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And how long has this been going on for you?
Well, it's been kind of a, I guess, maybe like 10 years since high school, I guess. And
did it start in high school?
I guess I just started out as a young child. I was just pretty shy, and then I guess around junior high age, I started to actually, like, feel a little bit fearful of these situations.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of came and went, and I don't know, I found different ways to cope with it. I don't know, I'm not exactly sure why, but it's really crept up on me in the past, like, 2 years.
And nothing has changed in your life? You're not looking into relationship, or it just seems like it's just up.
Well, I guess, I don't know, like, as far as, no, I'm not really looking into relationship right now, although that's, you know, that definitely brings up, you know, anxieties. That's one thing. I guess a main issue right now is just I work in a heavy customer service job. So I'm dealing with probably, like, I don't know, roughly at least, like, 350 people a day.
Whew.
And
oh,
I'm
wow.
setting them up. Like, I work for a supplement retailer.
Uh-huh.
So people come in and they have these, you know, symptoms or problems, and they want help from us. And so I said, you know, we try and set them up with whatever they may be able to take home and supplements they can take for whatever is going on with them. And so people are bringing in, you know, their issues that are
yeah.
heavy for them, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
big
so
issues.
The interactions can get a little overwhelming, like, you know, after 8 hours.
Uh-huh.
So that's one thing that just managing, you know, my job and not taking on too much of that.
Yes.
And so I guess one main thing that goes on is, like, I start to kind of, like, internally freak out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just based on, like, recognizing, like, oh, wow, I'm not okay inside. And then that
right.
kind of, that's a cycle that goes. Like,
right. And then
trying
you,
to be okay. But
yeah, then you're trying to look okay on the outside, and inside you're freaking out.
Yeah.
And then there's the panic. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, all right. Can I give you a homework assignment, and then we can talk next week?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Are you right-handed?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so I want you to, because here's what it's based on. I think we're talking about a really young guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Junior high. And so I want you to take your right hand and say, you know, hey, guy, what's going on with you about this social stuff? Put your pen in the other hand and let him answer your questions.
Okay,
and see if you can get a sense, get some pictures of you out from around that age, 11, 12, and start letting memories of that come up and see if you can access him as kind of a real person.
Okay, wow.
And then give us a call?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Dylan. Let's do this again next week, Sherry.
Let's do.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.